Emma, you're the Netball Ireland under 17 coach, and you've announced the 12 players travelling to Gibraltar in March. So, first of all, why don't you just run us through the side?
Yeah, so we've got quite an experienced squad this year, which is great at an under-17 level. So in our defensive unit, there's three players, Lana, Karima and Ali, who have who were with us last year, and Karima was with us the year before. And we've had a new addition inside, Stingmore, which is great. So she brings good experience. She's a UK-based player, which is great. Midcourt unit, again, we've got some players who've been with us before. Erin played last year, and there was the addition of Orla, Erin and Kerry. This is the first run out for Kerry now, and she's a young player, so I think it'll be really good for her to come with the squad to see the jump from the level of play at home to what happens when you go to the European events. And I just think that you'll never get that experience until you go and do it and you go and see it and you realise the players you're up against and the level of competitiveness that the game brings at that level. So I think that's really good. And again, in the shooting unit, we've got three players who've been with us before. So Ruby, Sarah and Roisin all were with me last year, so they really know what's involved. And then again, like Kerry, we've got Avro coming through, who's a young player, first time selected. So I think for her, again, it's about seeing what it takes to compete at that level and the pressure that you're under and everything. So then we're kind of building through the years as we go on. You'd be hoping that the likes of Kerry and Avril would be with us again next year and they become the experienced players and that. So yeah, the girls are all delighted with the selection news. Sent them all a message yesterday saying the hard work starts now. And this season has been funny for us because of the storm, Emma cancelled our tournament last year. We played in October, so it kind of pushed everything forward a bit. So we just finished that tournament in October. We had to give the girls some time off and then we went back to selections. So this season has been really compacted. So we've gone from selection to trials to the whole... It's all happened very quickly this season, actually. So to come down to the final 12 now is great. And we've got a few more training camps before Gibraltar in March. So really looking forward to getting the best out of them with these next few training camps, which would be great.
And Netball Europe as well, it's always a special tournament, isn't it? No matter what age you're at.
Oh, definitely. And I've come through this system myself and it's so good. The first thing is I always notice there's a real camaraderie between the nations, which is really good. We're all in one region. We're all egging each other on to do better and to keep pushing and developing. But then that all goes out the window as soon as the first centre pass is called. But then you just leave it all on the court and then afterwards everyone's chatting and, you know, think, God, that player's really coming on and this is happening. And, you know, it's really good to see. So, yeah, definitely. And I think as Netball Ireland is developing within the region, with our senior squads pushing into world rankings of number 19 and we're, you know, our umpiring pathways are developing, our coaching pathways are developing, we're really building bonds more with all the nations within the region. So it does become a bit of a catch up with friends as well as good, strong, healthy competition. And I think for us in the challenge section, the introduction of the Isle of Man and Malta returning last year has just made our level of the competition so robust and so competitive. I think it's really working at that under 17 level. And I think it's also really good now that the winner of this event will move up and challenge in the top five. So we played Emirates last year and they came top of our division and they've moved up this year, and I think that gives our girls something to work towards in our developing nations, which is really good at that level. And the other thing is I think it really prepares them as they move through the pathways. They've seen these players, they know what competition is like, they know what it's like to be umpired at this level, they know what it's like, the formality of the occasion, the sense of pomp of it all. Like, it's just great for them when you think at 15, 16 years of age. It's fantastic.
Can you see that talent even at this early age? You must do, surely.
Without doubt. No, it's, for some players, I think it's there and it's in them and you just see it. And for some of our other players, I can see it coming and you just have to, I think as a coach, you have to promote the long-term development of your players. We've got some fantastic players who they're not quite making the team this year and I'm looking at them going, as soon as your growing finishes and all your coordination comes back, you're going to be so on form. So for me, it's a real struggle because you want to keep those players interested in playing okay, you didn't get selected this year, but look, in 2 years' time, you'll probably be first choice starting seven. But it's really hard for players to think in that way, because everybody just wants to play and be on the course. Of course they do. But no, definitely, I think you can spot talents, ball skills, ball awareness, all of that. I think when it's there, it's there. And then I think the coach's job is just to bring it out and to get the kids to maximise it. And I think at this level, for me, I just want them to love the game, because if they love the game, they'll keep playing it at any level. And that's all you really want.
Did they give you a bit of a tough selection process then? Was that hard on you and the rest of the team?
Yes, absolutely, because I was planning to make my selection decision about 4 weeks ago before Christmas, and I just couldn't. And every time we were looking at combinations and going here and there, and I was like, oh no, I still can't. So we had a long squad, and then we reduced it down to a more core squad, but still not the final 12. And then eventually, definitely really tough decisions. And again, because we've got players with experience, sometimes that works in their favour, but then I have to look at the whole arc of the journey, and we're thinking next year, we're thinking who's coming through, do we give them that experience, because then that pays you off in the long term. But ultimately we've got, you know, 4 tough games to play, and that's my number one focus, to put out the strongest team over those 4 games and hopefully come away with some really strong results. Last year saw us take our first win in a long time. We beat Gibraltar and Malta last year, and that's just the motivation that it gave the girls and the confidence it gave the girls was unbelievable. But definitely some tough selection decisions.
Well, I've got a bit more work for you to do when we finish this chat, because Sasha, my co-presenter on the podcast, she used to play nationally for you as well, so I wanted you to find me out her stats.
Oh dear, and okay.
She'll be in the history book somewhere, I'm quite sure. But don't worry, it was quite recent, so
okay,
she told me to say that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Sasha. Okay, you let me know what stats you want, and we'll see if we can dig it all out.
Well, what was she like on court? Did you get a chance to see her much?
Yeah, I would have been involved in organising the international squads. I wasn't coaching at that point, she's got a young family. Yeah, feisty, I would have said. Certainly somebody who doesn't give up, which is what you want to see. I think, you know, the fighting Irish is something we're often branded with, and it's not necessarily an aggressive fight, it's just that we won't give up until the last whistle goes. And I certainly think Sasha certainly brought that to the course.
She's going to have me for that now.
And me too, I'm sure.
We know that England won that gold in the Commonwealth, but we're a massive netball family anyway, so what kind of uptake did you notice there?
I think for us what it did was it brought the profile of netball to the general public, whereas before, netball isn't played as robustly in our school structures. It's not part of our national PE curriculum in the Republic of Ireland. So for us, we're always fighting to get the profile up, to make people acknowledge it and to see it. So for us, what it really did was it brought it to the general public's awareness. I think before, when we talked about netball, people remembered it from maybe Home and Away and Neighbours, when they saw, you know, some dramatic idea of it on court. And next thing, when the Commonwealth Gold match was on and it was quite widely televised, it was on BBC, which was great. The general public were looking at this, and I've had loads of comments going, oh my God, what a game. I didn't realise it was so fast. I didn't realise it was so physical. I didn't realise. And what's come back is a lot of people realising how great of a game it is. And a lot of parents who would have played it are now getting in touch about getting their kids involved and that kind of thing. So that's been really good for us. We're always looking to maximise the participation of the sport in Ireland. Always looking to promote it, to get it in at junior levels, to get it in within schools. We've had a couple of schools take it up, a couple of schools look to bring it in within their PE system this year with the idea of competing next year. So it's just always about growing, isn't it? And just pushing it forward all the time. There's also been a great initiative in Ireland called 20 by 20, which is an initiative to get 20% more girls playing sports by 2020. and they've got a hashtag can't see, can't be. So it's really good. So we've been trying to link into that to say, well, look, if we're not giving our young girls this profile or our senior girls this profile on this stage, how are we going to develop this? How are we going to make this a lifelong sport for everybody? So between England's Commonwealth Girls Success and Northern Ireland doing so well, and Scotland and Wales also, everybody doing so well, plus our senior girls moving into the top 20, plus this 2020 campaign, Netball Ireland are really trying to drive and promote netball through all of these channels. Always looking for new players. You know, we just had our head coach, Joan Young, just did a coaching course. Like, what other nation do you get the head coach doing a coaching course with PE teachers and with young progressive coaches and developing coaches? So really just, you know, trying to use every avenue to harness the momentum to get more girls playing. And I think we're seeing the benefits of that in that, you know, we took a win, two wins last season. That was a really long shot for us at an under 17 level the previous years. So it's definitely all going in the right direction. We just need to keep pushing forward, and that's what we're trying to do as an association, and that's what I'm trying to do on the course with the girls.
Travelling to Gibraltar isn't cheap, and like many other sports, I mean, things are self-funded, so that's why you've set up that GoFundMe page, haven't you?
Yeah, it is. And like I've said, a lot of our girls are quite experienced. This could be their third under-17s tour, which means the financial burden on the parents have been year on year. So as a sport in Ireland, Netball Ireland receives no funding at all. So every single level of the game is completely funded by the players involved, from our open squad all the way down to our under-17s, under-15s, from hall hire, from kit, from travel, physio, everything. So yeah, so when myself and the management team sat down and looked at the overall cost of travelling to Gibraltar, considering flights, accommodation, tournament fees, umpire fees, kit, food, everything, you know, it's not a cheap couple of days. Now it's so worth it, and the girls all think it's so worthwhile, but the financial burden for each parent, it just becomes overwhelming. So we're just reaching out to the netball family to say, you know, if everyone wants to chip in, we could really reduce the financial pressure to help these girls go and perform, to take that pressure off some families who might just be struggling that bit more, so that we can really focus on what we need to be doing and have everything there that you need. You know, you have to have a physio on your bench, and that has to be paid for. So of course we have to look to, so the more we fundraise, the more support we get. It just takes all of that burden off the players so they can go and perform and go and focus on what they need to do. So far we're doing pretty good. It's only live a couple of days, and I'm not exactly sure of the total at the minute, but people are generous, and that's great. And I think people can really see the benefit of encouraging teenage girls to play sport. I mean, I think every bit of research shows that this is when girls stop playing sport. So if we can really promote these athletes to continue playing, to love the game, to keep going, it can only serve them well in their lives and only serve our sport well as well. But yeah, it is a real struggle for me as a coach when I'm, you know, selecting a team and asking players to commit. They're not only committing their time, parents then also have to commit the finances. The management team are all volunteers, myself and Jen, our manager, and Jan Hines, who your co-host Sasha Shipway will know. Jan is going to be on our coaching bench this year, so she comes with a load of experience as our national squad goal shooter. So we all volunteer our time, but there's a cost for us to go as well. So it's just really difficult. You'd love to be able to do it without that burden and to just take that away and just focus on the game, but we can't. And this runs all the way through our association and all the way through our national teams. It's the same for our senior girls. They're all self-funded. So, you know, you're talking about difficult selection decisions. You have to think who's the best 12, but also who can financially afford it. And I just think that's something that as a coach we should try and take out. It would be great if we could take that out of the game. So that's why we're looking to the GoFundMe page, just to try and take some of the financial burden away for the parents. And then also, we've been very lucky this year. The parents have really engaged, and they're all looking at other sponsorship methods for us, and, you know, possibility of having someone sponsor our kits, someone to sponsor, you know, bags, you know, all these little things And it's the generosity of people that makes this team be able to go off and do what they can do, hopefully.
Well, we'll mention a link in a minute, but even if it's the sake of 10 euros here and there, but I won't get into euros because there's probably 350,000 other podcasts that are covering that value at the minute, given the way things
are. Yeah, no.
And that's not what we do.
Yeah.
That's not what we do.
No. Let's keep it light. Stay away from that
altogether. So the best place to find the link then, is it just on your Twitter page?
Yeah, so it's on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page. Also then, if you just Google search GoFundMe Netball Ireland Under-17s, up they'll pop, you'll see their faces. So any support we can generate would be amazing for me as a coach and for the management team, and then also for the players. I mean, ultimately, we're all doing it for them.
And you're on at Netball Ireland on Twitter as well?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
So give you a follow, keep you updated as to what you're up to at the moment, and obviously the tournament out in Gibraltar.
Yeah, so that's our main, well, at under 17 level, that's our main focus. So we're training on Sunday. We have a training camp over midterm where we've got a Yorkshire-based club coming over to give us some tough opposition. So we're ready to go for Gibraltar. And then with exams and everything that happens with the girls at this age, they'll have a bit of a break period before we go into pre-season next year. But our under 19, they're still working hard. They're looking at hoping to get some competitive games in autumn. And then our senior squad, we'll be travelling to the Europeans in May again and hoping to retain the title, the challenge section. So it's all go on the international level for Netball Ireland, as it is every year. It's just, you know, we just keep pushing and pushing, which is great.